Blog Talk Radio.
I ain't seen you around the way.
Not around the way no more. You wanna find me? I'm right here.
Hey, yo, remember, man, talk this shit up when you hit them bricks.
Best way to get more involved is to tell people about the benefits of this here thing. No beefing, no drama, just business. Anybody got problems with anybody else here, we bring it to the group. We ain't gotta take it to the streets. All right, let's do it.
This is Unconcealed.
This is the Unconcealed Talk Show with host Smith and Mike Real and Diamond Day.
Mike Real, but you can call me Mr.
This is Unconcealed.
This is the Unconcealed Talk Show.
This is Mr. Naz.
Out of the New Jersey and New York area, the Unconcealed Talk Show.
Diamond Day.
This is Unconcealed.
If you're the common denominator in relationships and work and all that, then maybe they ain't the problem. Maybe you are the problem.
This is the Unconcealed Talk Show.
This is Unconcealed.
We all have certain challenges that we face during adolescence, young adulthood, and by now, damn it, if you haven't gotten together, it's your own fault.
This is the Unconcealed Talk Show.
Look, come on now.
Right.
You know, you go through stuff you're going through, you know, and man, people don't understand. People do understand. You keep putting yourself in the same situation. Look, go home.
This is the Unconcealed Talk Show with hosts Smith and Mike Real and Diamond Day.
Yes!
Hey, little technical difficulty. Had to refresh the damn computer board. I'm just like, where's she at?
I'm here, live and in the flesh. I'm looking at you. You looking at me. You don't see me. That means the workout program is working. These pounds are dropping. I'm like invisible.
So, question: can you hear me loud and clear?
You sound like you're far away, like you don't want to be near me.
No, no. I'm gonna fix the problem now. Here's what I'm gonna do. I'm trying a new mic source. I don't like it. So if my co-host and my partner says he can't hear me, I'm gonna fix it. So Diamond,
I mean, I can hear you. You just sound like I think. Like you sound like you don't want to be near me.
No, I'm right here. Testing 1 2. 1 2. Can you hear me? Any better?
I can hear you. You got the Hashitashi mic on now?
You know what? I can't.
I need the Hashitashi.
I need the Hashitashi.
I've been here waiting. I'm like, he can't talk to me. He can't see me. I can't hear him. What it do? Where you been?
I'm gonna call the other line. I'm not gonna do this Hashitashi nonsense. We're gonna end that right now.
No, you actually sound fine. You do. You really sound fine. I mean,
really?
You can try it.
No. If you can hear me, I'm going to make sure the listeners hear me. I mean, because if they can't hear me, then what the hell are we doing here?
Right, exactly, because I'm going to hear you regardless. I think you sound fine. I just want to keep going. And, you know, if they can't hear us when they're checking us out on any of the rebroadcast, iHeart, YouTube, Blog Talk Radio, Rebirth Radio, look at me learning. I'm learning. If you're checking
you
us
go.
Out, I'm loving it. I'm doing my homework. You think I just be around on the dreadnought? I've been eating. I'm hyped tonight. But no, if you can't.
I can tell.
You can tell I've been eating cheese things. Like, yeah. That face and that forehead is spreading. But no, if there is anything, if you have constructive criticism for us, give it. Because we give it, so we can take it. But that will only help us improve. But I think you sound fine. You sound different. But actually, it's a little bit better, honestly.
Oh, my God, wait a minute. okay, well, with that being said, I'll make sure we work on this. I'm working on a new computer system, and I want to make sure, you know, the listeners can hear and everybody's in a beautiful place, so forth and so on. So, how was your week, my dear?
My week so far was phenomenal. I'm going to keep it brief because we got a lot to talk about, but I'll start with last weekend. We started celebrating my Scorpios. My grandbaby was born on my father's birthday, which was November 4th. So last weekend I was in total granny and daughter mode. We
Cynthia and Fire Weekend together. They are 75
awesome.
Years apart, so he turned 79, she turned 4. Sometimes she acts 79 and he acts 4. So it was a wonderful weekend. And then my daughter is November 8th, so I'm like as much junk as I
saw. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, everybody, right? I got the one that gave birth to me, the one I gave birth to, and the one that I gave birth to that gave birth to. So I'm just surrounded with Scorpio love. They're a bit crazy. But it's been a good week. Work is good. Everything is good. Like, there is absolutely – somebody asked me – in fact, it was my dad's friend. She said, how are you? I said, I'm perfect. And my father was like, oh, perfect. I'm like, you ain't never been perfect. You know, I'm perfect. It's relative, right? So
yes,
in comparison
it is.
To how life has been or how life could be, I'm perfect. I'm not going to complain. Nothing to complain about. I'm completely blessed. How about you?
You know what? This week was productive. It was productive. I was in ATL, handled some business. I was busy. I was traveling, not much sleep, but I got some things done. I got a lot of things done. Salute to my peoples over there in ATL. I had a chance to stop by and check out a couple people, and they was like, yo, man, we're listening, nigga.
Really?
Like, okay. I said, okay, that's good. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And my partner sounded a little, one of my boys down there sounded a little angry when he talked about it, but, you know, that's his personality. He'll be all right.
What's his problem?
I don't know. He's just angry for everything. But he tried to make it sound cool by saying, yo, listen, I got you. I'm like, okay.
Oh, that's tight.
I'm like, damn.
Mad, motherfucker.
I got you. Yo, man up. Yo, Diamond, hot, she hot.
Oh, that's dope. So thanks for listening. I mean, we are just really expanding. And, you know, I just feel like you and I are going to do something with these platforms that we have and together. Because you're dope. You a dope dude. Like, people
don't know.
Like, you a real dope dude. Yeah, you are.
Thank you.
I appreciate you.
Thank you. Word is born. Oh, my God. I feel a Hallmark moment coming. I don't have the music for it, but I will have
you
it next
it.
Week.
Yeah, you got to get it. It's always a random Hallmark moment.
No, equally so. I mean, I definitely know it wasn't by mistake that we put this, you know, got together, you know, and I just feel blessed. I feel blessed.
Yeah.
I feel, you know what, Diamond? I feel that we're on the verge of a different level. I mean, beyond and what, you know, people is used to, maybe those who follow you, yourself and myself, because you're doing big things with the women movement, empowerment. And
yes,
I just have this click attitude now. It's like, you know what? Shit, get off the pot. If you ain't about positive stuff, you're not moving forward, you know, don't be around me. I just can't do it.
And you know what? I'm there as well. For the most part, for years now, I've decided that if you're going to be around me, you got to be positive. And I'm not saying you have to be perfect. I don't want anybody to confuse positivity with perfection. You got to be positive. Because a lot of people think because we say you got to be positive, they have to be perfect. I don't expect perfection. I'm not perfect. But what I am is working towards greater things. I'm old.
We're old.
We're at the halfway point. We'll talk about that another time. But we are at the halfway point because we ain't living to be 100 and we damn near 50.
You would have got us in the ground, barefoot over us.
Yep,
damn near. Yeah.
I'm preparing my afterlife. Listen, I'm not trying to have anybody read my obituary and be like, she partied her ass off. I want more written in my obituary than she was funny as hell. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I want to be an impact in some way so that when I'm gone, I leave something. I know that I'm going to leave a lot of smiles because if I make one person smile per day, I feel enriched. But I want to do something else, and I feel like through the network and all of the people that I've met over the course of the years, now it's time to do something better, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And that's where the women's movement is coming from. And so many women have businesses that, but they don't have the proper channels to network with other women of color. So
yes,
that's what the women's movement is about, because we know better, so we're doing better. Yeah, I know.
I mean, now question for you. Now, I know we talked about it. I know you guys are working on it. When are we going to have the ladies on? I'm just curious about that.
I'm going to text all the ladies right now. Hold on, let me pull up my calendar. Because the good thing about the team is that everybody's busy. So it's like a double-edged sword. It's a blessing and a curse to be involved with so many women that are so active in our community. So actually tonight was going to be the night, but DJ T. Ramsey couldn't make it because she's over on our sister station, I'll call it, Basement Life. She's spinning tonight, so I'm about to tune her in and listen to her in the background. So that's why we couldn't do tonight, because T. Ramsey is actually DJing. However, I think that we are aiming for... Yes. Dropping bombs. That's, what did you call her?
She
called her Miss
Selma
Ramsey.
She'll let me call her her damn DJ name. She'll show me some damn love.
When she comes on the show, I think that will convince her. So right now, I think we're looking at November 20th. I will follow up because I know Reverend Boyd had something to do. And big shout out to Reverend Boyd and to her pastor, because this is real. And she went to her spiritual leader to actually ask for his approval in partnering with Four Women by Women. And she has received his blessing, and he's encouraged us and given us his blessing to move forward. So this is a real thing. We're very busy behind the scenes, and we're not going to half-ass it, right? So we're not going to roll something out that we're not ready. But before the year is out, I'm thinking early December, and I promise to solidify the actual date by Monday. Give me till Monday to get them all together to solidify a date. It's myself, DJ T. Ramsey, or Selma Ramsey, because she's not the DJ of this movement. So it's myself, Principal Ramsey. It's Reverend Kia Boyd. Community activist and leader. She is our charity leader, Paula Jernigan. And then we have our very own DJ, because we will still have fun. So shout out to Shonda T. She is our official DJ of the movement. Everything we do, from the catering to the event, everything we do is going to be done by women. We will ask for the support of our men. We are not too proud to be submissive and be accepting of the partnership of our men, but this is about uplifting the women.
That's what I don't want to curse, but that's what I'm talking about, damn
that's
it.
That's okay, because I said reverend and then said something else in the next sentence.
I was just trying to curse behind the word reverend. It just didn't seem right.
And Reverend Boyd might cuss you out, too. Don't get on her bad side. Listen.
Isn't there a pastor that does the cursing? I forgot, what is his damn name? He's all over the social media.
The cursing pastor. That's his name.
Yeah, yo, he's wilding. But yeah, I'm gonna
he's wild. He is out of control. I mean, he cusses too much. Like, there, some of his points are very valid, though. But I feel like he's more of a gimmick versus in a pastor or a reverend that's just being real. So there's one thing to be real and know that you're human and relate to your pastor, as a human, right? To be able to speak on our level and not speak in such a theological manner that nobody understands you. And then there's this fool. He just cusses for no reason. I feel like he's a gimmick. I was going to message him the other day. Yeah, he's a fool. He's a gimmick. And I have no respect for him, to be honest with you. I question his credentials. I do, you know, and God loves us all, so who am I to judge? But that one right there, he's over the top. There's a certain, and this goes with our topic for tonight that we'll get to later, but protecting your brand. You a whole reverend. You can't be out here cutting up so badly.
Mm-hmm. Well, with that being said, we got to do better, so let's go into this segment. We got to do better.
Ooh, hoo, hoo, hoo. Yes.
Right, Yes, we are at that part. We got to do better. Oh, my God.
We do.
Well,
we do.
Today's topic.
I
think we talked about it behind the scenes and we kind of corresponded back and forth. There was something. I guess we could talk about the negative first.
Okay.
I don't believe we at this. You know, Mike, I love you. We talked about it when I believe you first came on this show. And we're
I
back
did.
At
my very first show.
Yeah. We're going to talk about the goddamn issue surrounding Popeye's chicken sandwich. Again.
I know.
Well, another person has been stabbed multiple times in an argument at Popeye's over a goddamn chicken sandwich.
Over a chicken sandwich. This is
Why?
The cornish of the corn.
Why?
We can't get any more stereotypical corn acting. It's ridiculous. Over a piece of chicken. I mean, your grandmama probably fried chicken better than this chicken sandwich.
Oh, no doubt.
And I was reading because I didn't believe it. I was like, this cannot actually be real. There had to be something else to this. But no, there was an altercation. And they said within seconds, it went from, did somebody cut somebody in line or?
Yeah, over a damn chicken sandwich again.
Right? Deadly. Actually, he died.
A goddamn
Over a chicken sandwich. And then, though, there was another video where there was a white man. I just watched this before we went live on air. And there was a white man who was in Popeye's. And I don't know if he was there for the chicken sandwich or not, but the line was very, very long. And he went on to call it your nigger this.
What?
The video is actually on Facebook. I'll share it. I'm going to share that video actually on the Unconcealed page and the Diamond D Show page. I'm going to share that video. Nigger this. And he actually walked out of Popeye's in one piece. Now, the second part of that video, which is what I'm searching for, is where he got his ass beat when he got outside. Now, you, sir, asked to get your ass beat. You deserved it because you were in there cutting up. First of all, even Popeye's chicken. The majority of Popeye's chicken customers are what? Okay.
Yeah.
And he was in there. He was tough. He even stunted at the guy. Like, threw, like jumped at him, and he walked out. But somebody said there's a second video. Well, yeah, you did all of that inside, but when you got outside, you got your ass beat. You have no right to call people a bunch of niggas when you in there with them getting this chicken. Yeah, so this whole Popeye's frenzy almost makes me want to boycott Popeye's, like, but it's not their fault. You know, it's not their fault that their chicken is amazing.
And I'm seeing people talk about they want to boycott it, and I understand, rightfully so, but people, we got to do better. I mean, open some goddamn chicken? I mean, real talk.
We have to do better. I was in Livingston Mall last night where I will never go again, but that's another topic. Yeah, I was in Livingston Mall, Livingston, New Jersey. I was in Livingston Mall. If you're from Jersey, you already know. But that's the mall that we went to when we were growing up, right? Right up the hill, you could catch the 70.
You just
right?
Livingston,
but Livingston Mall reminds me of Petler Square. Remember Petler Square?
What?
It does. Petler Square was like a flea market that we were very excited to get in Newark, late 80s probably, and it lasted for about 2 years. It was a dive. And that's what Livingston Mall reminds me of. However, in the food court, there's a Popeye's. And when I got there, I looked over at Popeye's and I said, wow, nobody's in line for the sandwich. This was at about 6 o'clock. By 7 o'clock, the line was headed towards the exit by the food court. People want this sandwich.
Are you serious?
I'm very
serious.
6 o'clock, no one there, and I was like, wow, people should come. And I was actually going to make a funny post, like, hey, if you want a Popeye's chicken sandwich, come to Livingston Mall. Nobody's here. By 7 o'clock, by the time I went into that raggedy-ass Macy's, that Sears that should go out of business with the rest, that mall should just be closed. But that's another point. There, that line was wrapped around, and it was not filled with just black folks. White folks want this chicken, too. I understand more so the white folks wanting the chicken than the black folks because we've been frying chicken for years. We've been frying chicken since we were slaves, making this chicken taste good. And now we've run it. We got to do better. Fry your own chicken at home for the price of a sandwich at Popeye's. at the risk of your life, you could buy a pack of chicken breasts for $1.99 per pound and make your whole family chicken sandwiches. Like, we got to do better. I really want to boycott Popeyes, but it's not their fault that they have this chicken. Do you think it's something in it? Somebody saying it's drugs in it. Like, these people going crazy. What?
I don't know, is it heroin and then dropping little, you know, peas open? I mean, what the fuck?
Or
I mean,
have we just gotten to a point as a society that we are such followers? We want to be able to say, I did it too. We want to be able to go on social network with our sandwiches. There was actually in the Facebook marketplace, there was actually somebody was selling a chicken sandwich for $50 in Piscataway, New Jersey. In the Facebook marketplace, this is, I'm not lying. Like, this
selling
is what we're...
A chicken sandwich.
A chicken sandwich.
On Facebook.
For $50. On Facebook. $50.
No,
I'm sure
no.
Somebody bought it. I'll go back and look tomorrow. I'll post that on the page, too.
Yeah,
we got to do better, people. We got to do better. Meanwhile...
Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we had to talk about it because I just thought it was unreal that there was still...
Murdered chicken.
No, a goddamn chicken sandwich. It's probably processed chicken anyway, but people say you should try
and
it.
Right. They are. They're like, I feel like it might be a set. I don't want the chicken. I don't. I'm not a fan of Popeyes to begin with. Even on Springfield Avenue, right in Irvington, line out. It's. But don't sleep, though. Chick-fil-A is still popping because I was on Route 22 on Saturday morning and traffic was backed up because of Chick-fil-A. So don't sleep on them. Don't think this is impacting Chick-fil-A but so much. It's not. They still on and popping. They still causing traffic jams as well. People, you got to do better. There are so many other options. And I would like to, Mr. Naz, even do a show on, and maybe we'll be... We'll go ahead and be cliche, maybe do it at the beginning of the year or maybe towards the end of the year to remind people we got to be healthier. Like, we all running around here to get this fried chicken.
We are.
Meanwhile,
we are.
Cholesterol rates, overweight, you know, blood pressure. We should be trying to stay so far away from that damn chicken.
Actually, you said it before when we was on the show, the Mellow Mondays, you know, as far as doing, being part of the solution about more positive news, adding more positive news, you know, and you know, we may not be for everybody. You know, if you want Ratchet, there's other podcasts and other shit out there you can listen to. We're going to try to be informative. We're going to be fun. We have entertainment. You know, I remember this. It was this gentleman when I first got into this years ago. This older gentleman said this to me. He's like, you know, young man, you know, I see what you're doing over there. I said, okay, you know, thank you for listening. He said, you know, you understand you have a platform. Be responsible. You have power.
Correct.
Understand that. And when he said that, it just resonated so much. And then when I watch other people who have these platforms, from music to radio stations to television, are you using your platform wisely? I mean, are you really using it wisely? Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. I've looked back at myself over the years, and I've seen my ups and my downs. You know, I'm not one to hide who I am, but sometimes when all people get a view is an hour and a half, that's all they have to go on. So we're getting a little ahead of the game, but we're going to come back to this. If all someone has of Diamond D is an hour and a half once a week of Diamond D, what do they surmise that hour and a half? So if they see me drinking wine, I'll say as an example, and I'm not going to stop, but I'm just going to out there.
No, I like the wine too.
But if that's all they see, right, but if that's all they see of me, they may think, because people are small-minded, they don't realize that if that hour and a half, there's how many other hours in the week, what is she doing? If all they see of Diamond D in that hour and a half is Diamond D is drinking wine and cracking jokes, that's all they know of me. And then that has become what my reputation, that has become my brand. So I have to adjust.
You serious? I mean, seriously.
Yeah. No, seriously, somebody had said to me, they was trying to get cute, and she didn't know me, and she was like, all you do is drink wine, like real ratchet came at me real sideways, so I had to turn off the Diamond D voice, turn on the diet on the Denise and hit her with a bunch of big words that she probably had to Google. And hands her ass to her in a silver platter until she was she was humble. But don't get it confused. But at the same time, it was my responsibility to, you know what, tighten up my game. Instead of just having so much fun, I had to kind of start to insert other aspects. And that's where News You Won't See on TV came from, you know. So just to let people know, I'm more than just jokes. Because, again, people with this social media and this entertainment, well, people only know. They only know. We don't know Michael. I'm talking about Michael Jackson, how I got there, because he's the first entertainer that popped in my head. We don't know him.
Right.
But when we know, when we think of Michael, we think of, depends on who you are. I may think of a great entertainer who was a great dancer. You know, think of his roots, who was beat, his ass was beat by Joe Jackson. Another person may look at Michael and say, he hung around little boys all the time. He was a predator, a pedophile, what have you. It's all about what we portray, and we've got to protect that. But we cannot, I cannot skip ahead. I know we got other things we got to cover before we get to that.
It's needed. You know what? I can tell you're passionate about the topic because you're going in already.
Already, and I'm jumping the gun. I'm jumping the gun because you've got some good news that you want to talk about. So we're not, because last week we didn't get good news.
I'm ready to jump on the topic now.
No, you're not skipping good news. You skipped good news last week.
No,
I know we're a little
bit
off the timing, but you skipped good news last week. I'm not standing for it this week.
Well,
I want to talk about what's going on in Oklahoma.
Well, you know what, ladies and gentlemen, you know, a lot of times we talk about what's happening in our country. We've decided, you know, not only to talk about the negative stuff, we're going to talk about the positive stuff that goes on. In Oklahoma, they release hundreds of inmates, the largest communication in the U.S. history. Over 400 inmates was released. Now, mind you, Oklahoma was known as the state that housed the most inmates. The new governor pardon parole board approved this last Friday through Governor Kevin Stitt, I believe that's his name. He said things got to change. And they released these inmates, you know, nonviolent inmates. I mean, those had like either drug charges or misdemeanors. And now they're looking to provide more supportive services, more services to help them. In fact, he's also just reading through this. I'm just paraphrasing it off the article, reading it through MSNBC, excuse me. They're actually going to allow them to get their licenses back and state IDs. Because a lot of times when you're getting out, they don't have these resources. They don't have these things to get a job. They can provide supportive services. So that is awesome news, you know. And I think it's great that they're allowing this, you know, these people who's made mistakes in their life, you know, nonviolent, you know, stuff that they can do probation for usually, or get services for to help them with. So I applaud Oklahoma for making that move. I hope many countries, many states fall behind that. I'm very
Can
happy
I play devil's advocate?
Uh-oh, here we go.
You should have known. I'm playing devil's advocate because although they're giving them the license and their state ID, that's cute. But we're looking at the same article, okay, I didn't cheat, I didn't go digging. they're saying that the state is also making sure that the released inmates receive a state-issued driver's license, state-issued or identification card, and that those inmates begin to reenter society, apply for jobs, and seek housing. What in the absolute fucker is going on here? Excuse me, until we get FCC regulated, that's what you're getting. However, you're going to give me a driver's license and what? That's not helping me. You know, you're saying, okay, on Monday you get out. That's great for those that got family. I guarantee you.
That's a start. I mean,
that's not a start. Where the hell am I going to sleep? I was happy with my two hots and a cot. How much money you giving me? Are you putting me up in a shelter? Everybody didn't have a family waiting for them out there.
But that's another thing that we could possibly look into, because I'm almost sure that a lot of those inmates who were released, they were awarded or directed to services
Mr.
like
Nass,
that.
Nass, I was digging for this today, and I even took the risk of doing it during the 9 to 5 hours. Only 3 minutes, y'all, just in case anybody listening. Right? Only 3 minutes, though, which is less than equivalent to a smoke break of the smokers. That's always going to be my argument. Like, if they ever say, you know, Diamond, you were spending too much time on the internet. Well, how many smoke breaks does she take? That's my first argument, but that's another topic.
Well, I didn't know you smoke.
I don't. That's my point. Oh. I don't smoke. So if I take a 3-minute Google break and somebody takes 3 15-minute smoke breaks in a day, I got a lot of Google breaks coming my way. So don't come for me. However, everything is strategic. However, let's say even if it's 80%, no, 20%, okay. They did 450. Let's do fair numbers, even numbers. 10% of 450, okay?
Okay.
All right, what are we at? 45 women or men, 45 inmates being released. Monday, you getting your ass out of here. I'm in a panic if I'm in that 10% because I don't have anywhere to go. So I need further details. The license is cute. Okay, as they prepare to re-enter society, prepare for jobs and seek housing. What job skills did you provide them while they were locked up? Okay, where am I going to go if I don't have any family to go to? I want to stay right here. I'm good. Some people commit crime so they can go to jail.
And I get that. Huh? I understand. It's rough out here. I know it's rough out here. But I mean, I just think that it's a great thing, but yeah, on the other
end. It's a great thing, but I need more details because what are you doing? What I see in this, and again, I'm being devil's advocate because it is a great thing, but there is that portion of those people that you are being released. They are being thrown out there into nowhere. They don't have any family. I couldn't find where you were saying, okay, they're getting out of here, but we're putting them into a shelter and into a job program, or we're going to give them a job at Food Fresh. What's that place that be hiring all inmates? Hello Fresh.
We need to kind of put that out there.
They hire inmates 24/7 or Amazon. Like, seriously, these are companies that give people opportunities that need second chances. I could not find that online. So in my mind, being devil's advocate, and I read it twice and three times, and I did my 3 minutes of Google, and I could not find anywhere to support what else they were doing for these inmates. To me, it looked like, we don't want to pay for you anymore. You're small-time criminals. It's costing us more to house you than to let you go. So bye-bye. Now, the people of Oklahoma State voted for this, so they're all excited about it, but I got questions. That's all.
Well, you know what? I think that's great, and I think that's the devil advocate part. I mean, that's another way to really look at it. I mean, definitely, like you said, there's that 10% that's still affected that just don't want to get out. So
they don't. They have nowhere to go. They have nothing waiting for them.
I think it's worth following up on, and ladies and gentlemen, those who listen to the show, we will follow up. Like we always say,
it's good, but
you're right. That 10%, that don't have, what are we doing about them? And I think it's a great question. And of course, you know, Diamond playing the devil's advocate, I love it. I love it like all.
Sorry,
but
it can't cuss me out tomorrow. Y'all. Tomorrow I'm on it. Didn't I tell you what we was talking about? I'm the producer of this show.
Nah, I'm all good.
You're listening to one of New York's top syndicated shows, The Unconcealed Talk Show, featuring Mr. Nass and Diamond D.
Once again, welcome to the Unconcealed Talk Show. Yours truly, Mr. Nass and the lovely Miss Diamond D. Tonight's topic, what is your brand?
Mm.
We started to get into it early, you know, part of the show. But, Diamond, I'm going to let you lead off because you seem like you was like chopping at the heels, ready to jump in on this one. Because I definitely have a lot to say about self-branding, business branding, improving your brand, changing your branding market.
right.
What are you doing?
Right.
Because, you know, so please.
When I think of branding, a lot of people think of branding as only from a business perspective, right? But you are your brand. So if you don't have a business, you don't have a persona, you don't have the ultimate personality, you are your brand. So I want to be clear – as we enter this topic is don't think of your brand as just from a business perspective. You are your brand. Your brand is your reputation. So I just posted on a page at the top of the show that said your vibe attracts a tribe. And that struck me. Again, does the opinion of others matter? And a lot of people go around, and you know, what is it? Sticks and stones may break my bones. Remember, we all learned that when we were children to instill in us a certain self-confidence. But sometimes you need to step back and reevaluate and realize that words do matter. People's opinions matter. So I went through the internet, and I was trying to find, does it matter? You know, I'm thinking to myself, does it really matter? Am I overly concerned about what people think about me? Should I just say, fuck them, I am who I am? And I've never been that kind of person. I always have strived to, almost to a detriment, please people, be better, be the best, excel, achieve, make. I wanted people to think well of me, and I still do, and I'm not going to change in that. You know, I've wavered over the years. You know what? I don't give a fuck what nobody thinks about me, but I do. And when it comes to your life, the opinion of others should matter, but not so much. I'm not talking about your friends and family. Yes, their opinion matters very much, but others who have no importance to you in your reality, right? So they don't matter so much. However, I want to take it a step further outside of my personal. I'm trying to do something with Diamond D. I'm trying to go somewhere. So, again, to go back to the critique that I received from somebody that just didn't like me. They did not like Diamond D, did not know me. I'll tell you behind the scenes. That person is so irrelevant, I honestly don't even remember her name. It was a woman. She was completely irrelevant, and that's why I say it doesn't matter so much, and it didn't stop my groove at all. But what it did make me think was, if this one person thinks that this is all I do, she sees me for 90 minutes per week online, and she sees me drinking wine, if that's what she thinks that I do all the time, she's very ignorant. However, somebody else may be small-minded, and they may think that 90 minutes, you get 90 minutes of me, and that encompasses my entire life. So what I had to do was say, okay, let me still be me. Let me still have fun. But let me make sure that people know that with all of this fun, there's other layers to Diamond. Mm. So other opinions, they do matter, but it's all in how you receive it and what you do with it. You know, there's going to be, we always talk about haters. You know, they're hate, and we all, you know, there are some people out there that just aren't going to like you. Those are the people that we call haters, and they don't have to like you. Like Mr. Nas said at the top of the show, we ain't for everybody. If we're not for you, c'est la vie. Nice meeting you. Click over to the next podcast. That's good. But for those who can receive what we're doing, it's important that we brand ourselves accordingly. We are not trying to compete with the ratchetness. That's not what we're trying to do. So we're protecting our brand. So decide who you are, decide who you want to be, what you want to portray, and then protect that. And remember, though, when you are deciding who you are, and it takes a long time, don't think because you're 30, even because you're 40-something, 45, that you know who you are. You got to go through some shit in life. Because I used to be too nice. Oh, I don't want to curse them out. Knowing deep inside that I would beat the ass, but I done beat some asses, you know. We told her, I know y'all asses about me and my brother beating up the mother on her. You know, so I'm like, I don't want to be that person anymore. And I didn't want to be that person so much as I became reclusive. You know, I'm like, I'm not going to say nothing. I'm going to let that ride because I don't want to go upside this bitch head. So I had to find a balance. So now I don't react so quickly, but I still, there was a time where I wouldn't react at all. To now, you got to get me to a certain point. You know what I'm saying? So I am my brand. And Diamond D brand has gone through some changes, ups and downs and lows, nothing that I could ever be ashamed of, but I'm going to protect it. Your vibe attracts your tribe. So who you want to be around? Yeah. Who do you want to be around? And all of that matters. And I've got some top reasons and all that kind of stuff too.
Well, I mean, well, first of all, I think you spoke about it very eloquently and straight to the point. And sometimes people need that. Sometimes people need to understand the message. And sometimes you got to make it plain and simple. You don't try to overanalyze it. You don't try to make it difficult to understand. You present it in a way that people can relate to. And that's what I love about you and what you do. Definitely. And your brand. And I agree with you about the brand. I can say this much. And I was thinking about the topic, thinking about what I was going to say. So much came to my head. You know, from rebranding to what you're selling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what came to mind? A supermarket. I know, you know, I'm using an analogy here. You know, people's like, you know, it depends on what you're selling. If you're selling a cheap product and you're selling a product, it's cheap, and you're selling it to a marketplace where people's not going to buy the price that you feel you're worth it, change the market. If your brand is higher, change. If you're presenting a product and your brand is worthy of the cost, is worthy of the following, and you're not getting the response you need, you may need to change that marketplace. Because that marketplace is not for you, you know.
Right.
Like you said earlier, you know, we're not trying to be in competition. We're trying to create our own avenue. We're trying to create our own lane. And something that, oh my God, I still had that post, or I wish I had that video up here. Tyler Perry said, you know, he got tired of trying to find a place to sit at the table. And when he said, oh my God, when he said, I created my own table. I don't need to sit at nobody else's table. When he said that, I just thought it was so powerful. It blew my mind. I'm like, dang. And I just took that alone and ran with it. I said, you know what? I don't want to be a follower. You know, I don't want to be known, you know, this person that follows behind or runs with this set. You know, I don't want to be known just as a DJ. I don't want to be known just as I want to be known as a person with multiple talents. You know, at the end of the day, what they used to say about my brand? You know, this man was very, very passionate. His brand was always quality. He's multi-talented. That's what I want people to recognize before. I want to recognize the love I have in my heart for my family and my friends, those I consider friends. Because I'm not calling everybody my goddamn friend. That's real talk. That's just not going to happen.
Right.
So I associate my brand and people around me, those who's going to reflect my brand. I'm not going to listen to somebody who's raggedy and ratchet and just don't got their shit together and try to give me advice. You can't go to a man or a woman who can't maintain a relationship or take care of family and they're giving you family or relationship advice. You just can't do it because it fucks your brand up.
Right.
So I, me personally, having my brand in the market, I choose the market where I want to have that. You know, if I want nickel and dimes, I'm a nickel and dime my services. But if I want more, I have to raise the level of expectations for myself and my brand. And that's what we are doing. That's what you're doing.
And I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, and he is too a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll probably listen to the show. Big shout out to my friend if he'll listen. And I said
him,
it was good, homie. I'm no name. But I said to him, why are you doing this party? Okay? Don't cheapen your brand. Okay? Because now this is a little bit selfish. I'm going to give you the short version of this story, and we're going to keep it moving. I got a lot of stuff I want to share with you, Mr. Nass. But this particular DJ, and this is really off the top, you just made it click for me. He said, yo, D, I need you to do this party for me, XYZ date. I was like, that's cool. I'm getting my price, so depending on my relationship with the DJ, depending on how hard I got to work out different prices, okay?
All
right. The client is never to know my price. I come with you. So if you or unless you're like, Diamond, you, I'm putting you in touch with this person, that's fine. But for the most part, I come with you. And, you know, and I leave it up to the DJ to decide how they want to present the opportunity to have an MC. Some people are like, I already sold my deal. You go in and sell yourself. And I'm fine with that as well. But with this particular DJ, we already have a package deal, and he knows what my price is to rock with him. It's usually very easy gigs, you know, what have you. But anyway, he said he probably wasn't going to do this particular event. Fast forward, I'm like, well, why? He says, because she doesn't have any money. I'm like, okay, then don't do it because you're not hurting. So fast forward, he goes, okay, I'm going to do it. I said, okay, so how much did you charge? And he told me the price that he charged. And he goes, but I'm still giving you your fee. I said, but that's besides the point. Because now when we go in here and we knock this shit out the park and we're phenomenal and you're awesome as a DJ and you're going to bring another DJ with you and you come with an MC and, you know, your setup is dope. Pay attention, and your setup is everything, and we've got our format down to a science. We are awesome together. Somebody else is going to want us, okay?
Yes.
Somebody else is going to want us, and then who are they going to go to? Most likely, they're going to take our card, and that's fine, but who are they going to call first? They're going to call the person that hired us and say, how much did you pay for that entertainment? Correct? They're not going to call us first because they want to know how to gauge whatever we tell them. And that person is going to say, I paid X, Y, Z. And they're going to say, okay. And then they're going to call and they're going to inquire about us. And guess what they're not going to want to do? They're not going to want to pay any more than what that last hookup, the person you gave a free fries to, they're not going to want to pay any more than that. So now you have cheapened our brand. We are top-notch, so people need to charge top-notch prices. They need, and if they can't pay it, then they don't want us. I'm Short Hills Mall. I ain't Livingston. So if you want Livingston Mall, you go around the corner and you get the clearance racks. If you want me, you're going to stay right here as soon as you get off the 24. I'm right here. I'm convenient. I'm easy. I'm well-lit. But if you want the discount, you go around the corner. Drive up the road a little bit more. But my point is, I don't cheapen your brand just to get a deal. No, don't cheapen your brand just to get a deal. Don't cheapen your brand. Don't because somebody has a lot of views on their show. For instance, go on there and include yourself in that just because you want people to see you. Sometimes people just look in so that they can talk about them.
Hold up. Say that again. Please say
that again. Some people are looking just so that they can talk about them. So just because somebody has hundreds and hundreds of views on their YouTube page or their podcast or wherever it may be, even some of the reality shows, they're being paid a shitload of money. But how much respect do we have for any of them? We don't. We watch it for the drama. We watch it so we can talk about them. And that might not even be who these people are in real life. And they don't have a problem with that being their brand because they're making millions of dollars off of it. And reality is none of us are. So we got to be more careful with what we portray.
God damn it,
I'm preachy tonight, though. I'm passionate about this one.
Damn it. Ladies and gentlemen, Diamond D's on fire.
I'm passionate about this one. I'm sorry,
oh
Mr. Nash.
God.
Woo! I'm
Jeez,
sorry.
She's a bomb in that.
Because, you know, again, we grown, and you know what you're trying to attract. You know what you're trying to attract, but your vibe attracts your tribe. So if you want to run around with a bunch of pool putts, go by all means, go ahead, be a pool putt. I'm not rolling with you. I'm going to be your friend, though, from afar. I'm gonna be
but
a
you know
what?
But you know what, Diamond? What you said that was just so powerful is the fact that people say, you know, they tune in, you know, they got all these followers and stuff like that. Like, are they following you, taking you serious, or are they looking at you as a form of entertainment? They don't take you serious. They think you're a clown. You know,
right.
I mean, and again, it's the brand. Now, again, like you said, people may follow certain people on social media because they know they're gonna be up some foolishness, and that's what they're associated to. You know, it's only a certain few people that get, you know, really paid a lot of money to be fools. But at the end of the day, it's still, when it's time to be serious, who's going to take them serious, you know, about the business?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, when you're watching this, you know, those who have their podcasts and their talk shows and their social media, watch what you put out there. Because now that shit don't go away. That's who,
right,
that's who you are. So you taking all the selfies with your ass out, and you got, you know, your kids like your grandma, and you getting clowns, or you going for a job. I mean, come
your
on.
Grandma. My granddaughter thinks I'm so corny. She thinks I'm so old, and I love that. You know, that's a separate brand. That's a separate brand.
You seen some of these chicks out here with the ass out, they got the thongs, and it looked like they got the cleatest ass, like a whole bunch of dents in their booty, and they trying to,
the
you know,
what?
Talk to
What?
I thought I told you. Right, let me explain this. the cleats. You know, football cleats and soccer cleats.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like
somebody.
All that shit is,
oh my God, Jesus, the offense. I'm so glad none of my friends have Cletus asses. Is that what it's called? So it's like a football cleat shoe thing? And
No. You know what happened when you want to keep walk on the grass? What happened? It leaves those marks.
Oh,
it
gets
it.
Indentations.
Yeah, whole bunch of indentations on their booty cheeks. Like a bunch of craters. Like a damn
Cletus.
Moon.
Cletus ass.
Or the moon.
Pay attention. Ladies, pay attention. Every week on the Therapy Show, this is called the Therapy Show, also known as the Essential Talk Show. Cletus ass. Okay. I'm just taking notes. All right, keep going. Cletus ass. I'm taking a bet. It's a Cletus ass. I've never. Moving right along, everybody, while we digest Cletus ass.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It irks me when I see...
I've never in my life heard Cletus ass. I'm going to put up a poll, and I'm going to tag you. And we're going to take a survey that says, fellas, what is Cletus ass?
Nah, that was something me and my crew made up a while ago. We all played sports. Yeah, cleats. Like, you wear cleats, and, you know, like they did the river dance on
their
ass.
And their ass, so it becomes Cletus ass.
Yeah, like,
okay.
Damn, look on her ass.
Ladies, do your squats so that when you take your ass pictures, you don't have this type of ass. I will... This is hitting the Urban Dictionary because you, I'm putting this in Urban Dictionary. We're about to go far with this. We're going to get paid off of this one.
You know what? What else we have? We had Deadhead. What else we had?
Deadhead. Throat punch.
Oh, yeah. Throat punch is the best. I love that. Oh,
I know. That's debatable because I'm stuck on Cletus ass right now. That's debatable. But, you know, do you have any of those friends, Mr. Naz? It was like this. This is who I am, like me as I am. This is what they going to get. You know, they're going on the interview or they're going on the first date, and they're like, this is who I am. I'm not cleaning up because this is who I am.
Men or women?
Both.
All right, I'm going to talk about men. Fellas, I mean, look, if the shoe fits, wear it. Listen, fellas, if you're a man of a certain age, all right, I'm gonna give you age ranges, 30 up. I'm going to even say past 20, but I get it, whatever. If you're 30 up, 40 up, maybe closer to the mid 50, why the fuck you walking with your pants sagging still? Why? This who I am. Mm-hmm. I'm from the hood. Hold up. Stop. Fucking stop. You're giving me a headache. You're giving me a headache. Well, no, I'm a business man. I mean, first of all, you can't even spell business. You said business.
Business.
You know, yeah. I mean, and I have, unfortunately, I'm going to say associates. I took the term friends out of it because the friends that I have, friends that I consider friends, we grow. We grow up.
Right.
We don't stay in that
place.
And
it's okay to for people to now change in your life where they're no longer friends, they're associates, you know, people that you know. This is fine. Mm-hmm. This is fine. We don't have to be stuck on lifelong friends. You can change categories. Go ahead, Mr. Nance. I'm sorry.
No. You listen. You got me motivated. it's just that, you know, it just irks me, and it used to bother me, but now I have let it go. You know, they don't want to change. This who they are, and I'm like, well, you know what? I'm happy for you. If that's what makes you happy, gives you peace, so be it. I just choose to do something else. So they can hold on to what. Ever they still stuck in the early 90s or the late 80s, that's on them. They don't want to change. That's who they are. That's how they talk. And that's who they want to be. Then you do that. I'm going to move on.
Still walking around in Coogee sweaters and big gold chains. And you do. You have to evolve. And I have associates and I know people and I've interviewed people that have come into the interview and I'm just looking at them like, you know, they'll research the company, and they'll see that we are business casual. That does not mean come to your interview as business casual, right? Don't come on your first date as casual. You want to put forth your best impression. And it's an old cliche, but it's true. The first impression the first impression is really the only impression. It's not just a lasting impression. It is really the only impression because you may not get a second chance. And again, I did all of this research for the entire show in 3 minutes at work, just in case corporate is listening.
Yeah,
only 3 minutes.
10 minutes.
Study, right? So studies show that first impressions are made within the first 17 seconds of meeting someone new. 17 seconds is all it takes for someone to summarize what they think or who they think you are. 50% of that impression is based off of, guess what? Your appearance.
What?
Your appearance. Mm. So everybody going around saying it doesn't matter, this is who I am, I'm not getting dressed up for this interview because when I come to work, this is what you're getting, you're foolish. For the people that are going on the date that say, well, I don't like to dress up, I wear sweats every day, so this is what you're getting, you're foolish. I'm even going to take it a step further, and I love all my sisters, and we are all beautiful, but there's nothing wrong with some concealer. I don't wear makeup. This is who I am. This is what he gets. He doesn't need to see every single flaw. He doesn't need to see every single flaw. I'm not saying that you have to go out in a full face of everything, but concealer, a little bit
that's
of something
right.
to take away the shine. Put your best effort forward.
Not
I'm not
true,
saying
but...
make that you have to beat your face to the gods, but what I am saying is that your first impression and 50%, 55% of the first impression is based off your appearance. We 50-some-odd years old. He don't need to know that we got those bags under our eyes, ladies. Men are very visual. Okay?
At what point do we get to remove the makeup? I mean, because I need to see it. I mean, because some women be getting that clown thing going on, too much makeup. That's
well,
a turn-off.
There's a balance, right? There's a balance. I'm not leaving the house without makeup. I'm not. But you're never going to look at me and be like, damn, Diamond, let go of the makeup.
I'm going to need you to do a show on this because there's some – we need to educate some of these women out here, you know, with the makeup.
And it's twofold. There's some women that are extreme to the anti-makeup, and there's some women that overdo it, and there needs to be a medium. I'm not perfect, okay? Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that I'm perfect, but I got a lot of male friends, and I'm only giving you ladies the opinions of what they give me behind the scenes that they're not willing to say publicly. All right, so also 7% is based off of the words you use. So if you're going into, nah, I mean, that's not a word. That's not a word. So now you're dressed poorly and you said, nah, I mean, you came in with saggy pants. Nah, I mean, you've lost it. You've lost the job and potentially you've lost the date, fellas. Okay, and then 38% is based off of your tone of voice. So I'm going to give you an example. When I call Mr. Naz and I catch him in his work tone, hello, how may I help you? And I'm on the other end like, what the fuck is me? He's like, yes, hello. Okay, I think I'll call you back. Can we schedule that for? And I'm like, okay, I get it, right? Because that's the impression that he needs to give that 9 to 5. So I get it. But in the background, I'm like, what the fuck is this voice? But it's all about impression.
I can't with your ass. Hold up, you do the same thing. Hold up, stop it now. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. Ms. Diamond D has another voice, too. She has another professional voice. Half the time... I wasn't sure if I had to give her my account number or she's some damn bill collector. You know, so I have to make sure. I'm like, hello?
Hello, hello? That is not true.
I was like, that was a liar. Click.
I paid my bills, coupon. I'm like, it's me. But no, if you want to be perceived as reliable, energetic, a go-getter, guess what? Become fit, or at least look like you are. So I'm going to give you the importance of first impressions, but things that you can do to help that first impression. And I got some more for you, Mr. Naz, okay?
That's good.
Ooh, don't be mad at me. Don't be mad at me. Don't be mad.
You're talking about the garbage again.
I ain't going to talk about the garbage. That's first impressions when I come to your house. What? I will come to your house and... My girlfriends don't like for me to come to their house, but that's a whole nother topic. Like, don't come over here with all that bullshit. I got a little OCD, but take fitness seriously. exercise most days of the week and clean up your eating habits. This is, don't be mad at me. I'm reading from some scientific stuff I found online. Overweight people are perceived, okay? Perception is what we're talking about, right? We're talking about protecting your brand. Overweight people are perceived to be statistically less productive, less energetic. Okay, don't be that person. I'm not saying to go out there and be Flojo. I'm not even saying go out there and be Mr. Naz. Go check out the Mellow Mondays video.
You know what? I can't. Shameless plug.
But what I'm saying is at least look the part. Make sure that your wardrobe is tailored, clean, neat, fresh, stylish, no saggy pants. Everything that you think doesn't matter, matter. Now I'm going to talk to my sisters, and y'all probably going to get mad at me. Tame your mane. I know that we are all pro-natural. I know that we are embracing our locks, and I'm down with you. In fact, up underneath these weaves and wigs that I wear, I, too, am just about natural. I got two cornrows in my hair right now. Fellas, sorry to take it away from you, but that shit on my head ain't real. It ain't mine. I purchased it. I got two cornrows that your sister used to wear back in the good times days on my head. I got hair.
Did you say cornrows?
You remember the cornrows? Like, one on the left, two big,
the color purple.
Two big, dookie cornrows.
Damn.
Yeah. He's like, what the fuck? No, they're neat. I got a lot of hair. I do, but it's not long and flowy. That shit ain't real. Those beautiful locks.
Yeah, we're natural selfie on social media. We have to do that.
I'll do that. I'll pull one up. I have one from back in January. But it's okay to embrace our natural locks, but make them neat. Make them stylish. The interviewer or the new man does not want to wake up to buckwheat. I'm not being facetious. Don't be mad at me. I'm being real.
Yes.
Okay?
Preach.
Fellas, fix your face. Keep tabs on them beards. Groom your beard. And y'all can also do away with the blackout. Best play. Let your embrace your grays, but keep it groomed and keep it clean. Wash fucking beards. You are your brand.
I knew you were gonna go there.
Wash your beard. Like, isn't that in the man code somewhere, Mr. Nan?
We're going to have to, I'm going to have to do a show on man code because the man code's been getting all muddied up lately. Oh, God. I can go on, but that's a whole
thing. Muddied up. But no, cleanliness matters. And stand up straight. Above all, be confident. Be confident. So if you're coming in, you have not done 1 through 4. At least stand up straight and be confident. The way you carry yourself when you walk into the room, there's nothing more attractive than a person who's confident. I'm telling you, that dude that stamps the avocados over at Super Fresh, I'll go back and listen to the previous shows if you don't know who he is. When he walks into Super Fresh in the morning and he's clean and his beard is washed and he's got his stamper standing up straight with confidence, he's going to get that lady. He's going to get that lady before that lazy brother because he's protecting and he's proud of who he is. I'm telling you, watch. Watch Lil Rico.
I like how Rico get her. I like how you broke it down, establishing, you know, I think those are great tips in establishing a personal brand. Now, when people establish a brand, now let me ask you this question from, you know, just your perspective. At what point, okay, you've established your brand. And maybe your brand, I don't know, time passes, you get older. Do you hold on to the same brand or do you evolve? Do you try to add on? Do you just wipe the slate clean and create a new brand? I mean, is it different situations? Or?
I think it depends on how successful you've been, right? So for Diamond D, I've been doing this for 10 years. I can't stay in that same place because personally I'm not in that same place, right? So back then, I was comfortable with just going out and dancing and having a good time and freeing myself from things that I had been through. So that was what I was all about. if I started to get bored with that myself, and if I want my audience to grow with me, because I can't reach out to the 20-year-olds, I can't relate to them, right? So I can only imagine that as I'm maturing, the people that I want following me are also maturing. So then I don't need to do away with Diamond D, but I need to recreate, or not even recreate, but to build upon who Diamond D is. We're going to still have fun. We're going to still party. We're going to turn up this Friday for the Scorpios. Like, we're still going to have fun, and we're going to have fun when we're on an Unconcealed show. We're going to have fun when we're on Mellow Mondays. We're even going to have fun when we're over there partying and listening to Basement Life, but we've got something deeper. We've got something more that we need to accomplish. So it's, you evolve. You add to. Now, if you're just ratchet and nobody wants to watch you and it's not working at all, it's not working at all, you either need to quit or do it over. Just wipe it all away and
now,
come back with something new.
You said ratchet. Let's go into this ratchet brand. First of all, what is considered ratchet? Let's establish
it's
that.
It's relative. What might be ratchet to me might not be ratchet to the next person. So I'll use the very popular reality TV shows. When reality TV first started and it was just a show or two on MTV, I was really into that. I can't even remember the names of the shows now, but it was years and years ago. That stuff interested me, but hindsight is it was really ratchet for the time. I can't think of any of the names of those shows, but if anybody can think of it, you know, drop me a dial in, talk to us, or drop me a message.
But reality shows, come on, I mean, it's like, but why is we as society attracted to that ratchet brand or that mindless
brand? Because so much of us can relate to that, all that yelling and screaming, and it reminds a lot of people of their personal lives, and they're looking at it like, wow, that's similar to what I do. That's similar to my life, but it's on TV, and it perpetuates for them a certain acceptance or a certain reasoning to think that that shit is okay, and it's not. But those people that are on TV are really just that. They're actors and actresses. Part of it may be true, but a lot of it is scripted. A lot of it is cut out. The producers determine what you actually see. There may be lots of calm moments, but they are only giving you the excitement. They're only giving you the drama. Drama for me is stressful, so I'm not interested in it.
But
drama
isn't this type of branding? I'm sorry. Isn't this type of branding creating the negative stereotype, and it's affecting a lot of our young people that carries that negative stuff they learned through entertainment or social media or on, I guess, TV? Isn't it? You know,
that's true. I mean, unfortunately, that is correct. And we can't help but the grown people watch. I would hope that the people that are adults that are into the reality shows are able to use discernment and realize that that's just TV, that's not reality. And then for the younger adults, I would hope that as parents, I'm going to get on the parents again, that we need to instill values in our children that when they actually watch it, they don't even want to see it. But that's not what's happening. What's happening is this excitement, and then they want to go to school, and they want to mimic it, you know, and then they get the ass beat. You know, and then they want to come over and go home to mama. That's a whole nother topic. You can't go around just smacking people. Shit don't just happen like that. That's TV, boo. So if your children are watching that, or even your grandchildren, you know, and I say that because reality is our listeners are of a certain age range. So if it's your children or your grandchildren or whatever, and they're watching it, you need to go in there, and maybe you can't dictate what they're actually watching for your children because they're of a certain age. But you need to let them know, look at here, that's not actual reality. That's MTV or Bravo, whatever other channels that it comes on. That's that reality. Don't come on Avon Avenue and think that you're going to smack somebody in the face and it's going to be all good.
Nah.
That's not how it happens. It's not just a scratch, scratch, cuss you out thing. You know, so we need to use discernment. And again, those people had the luck of the draw, if you want to call them lucky, they're doing this to be paid. But for our little circle, we're not being paid big dollars to do this. So you've got to protect your brand. I don't want people to, and the other thing is most people only know Diamond D. There's way more people that know Diamond D than that know Denise. So when I'm out and about, I need to be careful how I carry myself, because the first thing they see is Diamond. These people know Diamond. They don't know me.
Right?
So I don't want to be out there, because I don't want to fight. I ain't no punk ass. Y'all know I have my fights in my day, but fighting hurts. So, you know, fighting hurts. I ain't scared to fight. Don't get me wrong. Don't take me as no punk, but it hurts. I'm tired. I talked to one of my girlfriends about that every day. I'm like, oh, girl, remember back in the day we would have popped off. I'm tired. I've worked all day. Excuse me. Can we fight after wine? Excuse me. I've got to have this glass.
Can we fight later?
Yeah, that's where I'm at. But if I go around social media just constantly popping shit, like if I was a Wendy Williams can talk about people all the time, right? Boom, boom, boom. And people are like, yo, you could be Wendy. I don't want to be Wendy. Wendy has bodyguards. I don't even want to have to walk around worried about somebody cracking me up top of my head.
It's sad. A lot of people don't respect her because, I mean, yeah, she's getting paid. She's getting paid for the foolishness that she brings. But you ever notice when she's having serious stuff going on, they think it's a joke. Like the time she passed out on, I guess, on set.
That's her fault. That's her fault, because that's what she made of her brand. That's what she made of her brand. And what did they say? Fuck you, Wendy. You've been talking about people all the time. That's what you get at. I love when chicks do that. I learned that from the young girls. That's my ratchet. Did I do it well? You like my ratchet, Mr. Ness?
We're not going to keep on doing that. Damn that.
But that's what happens when you don't protect your brand. She wanted sympathy. When she was going through it with her husband and the drama that they went through, because she has... Her brand is to, Wendy Williams' brand is to gossip and not give a damn about what she says about anybody and anyone's feelings. So now, Wendy, you're going through the exact situations that you've made a mockery of, and guess what? Don't nobody care. Very few people give a damn because your brand.
I love how you just brought it right back. I mean, that was awesome. I mean, the brand, that's what it came down to. And I think the perfect part time to get on people about protecting your brand. I mean, protecting your brand. You must, if you establish yourself, you work your ass off to establish a strong, positive brand, please be responsible. I can only say this so many times. If you made a decision to be a part of the community, help the community, understand the shit you do, stuff you're doing, it's going to reflect and, you know, protect that brand. Because you got kids that looking at you. I have scouts that look at me. You know, they know I keep it real. They know I keep it honest. But at the same time, I keep that balance going on. So I have to protect my brand. So I can't do some of the things, the foolishness that I used to do. Once upon a time, I was not such a chivalrous dude, but I had to change that brand. I changed from, you know, stopping the womanizing and found that, you know, appreciate our women. I had to change that brand. Become more appreciative and loving of our women, showing the utmost respect, because that's not how I was raised. You know, so I value, I respect women. So I'm never going to disrespect a woman. I'm never going to treat her anything less than the queen. But I believe all our women are queens. And fellas, you know, you guys out here, I don't want to hear, maybe I'm old school, whatever you want to call it. Men, we got to get back to protecting the man brand. The man brand, being the head, being leaders of our community. Stop putting the blame on somebody else. Well, it's not my fault, or it's not my job to do. You are representation, and I'm talking to my black men. You are representation of your family. And if you don't have a family, create this, you know, break the cycle, break the chain. Become a leader, create a stronger brand. Let's not have the brand always black men in trouble, in jail, incarcerated, and just problematic and angry all the time. And the same thing for the women, but I'm pretty sure Diamond can go into that a little more deeper, you know, about women, about protecting the brand, and even making a stronger brand for our community. What do you think, Diamond?
Right. So I think for women, I'm a... from a business aspect, again, for women by women, that's part shameless plug, right? Another shameless plug. But that's part of what our mission is going to be, because people, again, as much as sometimes you want to separate your business from your personal, if you're good at what you do and you're successful in business, people want to know you personally. So they become one. It's almost impossible to keep them separate. Even in my 9-to-5, people know that, you know, sometimes I got to jet out of there. So, you know, look, I got this side thing that I do. You know, I do parties. I do event hosting. I do community events. You know, her name is not Denise. Her name is Diamond. And, in fact, they're so interested that they're going to look you up. Your professional is going to want to know a little bit of your personal and vice versa. So you've got to make sure, I'm going to talk about myself personally. I have to make sure that whenever I'm out here and I'm representing Diamond D, if anybody from that 9-to-5, which is actually paying the bills, if they look anything up that I'm a part of, that they do, they will not be able to say to me, the way you carried yourself, because at the end of the day, I am who I am. Diamond is a persona. She's a character. She's me, but she's not paying the bills. Denise is. So when that 9-to-5 happens to Google me, and they have one of the VPs even asked, can I be on your show? Absolutely not, sir, but glad. Thank you for watching. No, we're not going to get that personal. You have to stay over there in that space. But I have to be able to be proud of the Diamond D brand. I have to be able to say to my family, check out the Unconcealed Talk Show and listen to Diamond D and Mr. Naz. I've got to be able to merge the two. So I'm full. I have a very what I consider to be a successful family. I've got successful friends. So when I'm rocking with Thelma, DJ T. Ramsey, who's a principal in East Orange, and she's recommending me to do charitable events for the Deltas and for other organizations, I have to be able to represent her well. I can't be out there being so ratchet that she's like, oh, that's fun for online, but I could never connect you with anything relevant because the two merge. They merge. So you have to, no matter how much fun you're having, unless you decide that this is how you're going to make a living, a real living, and this is going to pay your bills, you have to be careful about your brand. Now, if you get chosen for one of these ratchet reality shows, I'm just going to call, they know they ratchet. They even call themselves ratchet, right? If you get chosen to be on one of these reality shows that's going to pay you to be a fool, by all means, be a complete fool. If you're going to be an asshole and get paid for it, you better be the biggest asshole. You better be good at your brand. So whatever brand is most profitable for me, because for me it's about the bottom line, whatever brand is most profitable for you is the brand that you need to represent and make sure is presented well.
But you know what? I mean, I know I feel you on that one, but these people that's doing these ratchet shows, and they're acting like fools. Again, like we just alluded to with the Wendy Williams scenario, and we use that as the perfect example, I mean, you're being paid to be a clown. I mean, damn. I mean, and then when it's time to take care of business, at what point people take you serious in your life or your family, they clowning you all the time. I mean, you see what I'm saying?
But some people are okay with that. And honestly, Mr. Naz, if somebody said, Diamond, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. So if somebody said to me, Diamond, and they gave me a contract, because I'm all about the contract, they said, Look here. I'm going to pay you a few million. I just can't even think of a reasonable number right now, but something that was worth my while, and I need you to be a complete asshole. And I'm contracted? And they have to pay me this? And you talking about one of these networks on television? Goodbye, reasonability. Hello, ratchetness. I'ma be the ratchetness. What? You're gonna be like, D, for real? You're gonna call me, and I'm like, listen, do you want me to send you this check? or not. You're like, I then goodbye. I have to go be ratchet. So, I mean, it's whatever really floats your boat. But in reality, in our world, you got to be able to merge the two. We're not talking to, you know, we're not talking to the NeNe Leakes. We're not talking to those that capacity, that level of people. We're talking about regular, we're just regular Joe Schmoes trying to be out here and do what we do in whatever field that we're doing it in. And so you've got to be able to go back and forth. But I'm going to tell you, Mr. Nas, let somebody call me up and be like, yo, I just need you to be ratchet. How many seasons? And they're like,
I mean, what's the money on this, on the brand? I mean, you're paying for it. I mean, I see you paying. Now the job.
So I make a pretty decent living. So the money has got to be big money. It can't be like, oh, double what you make in a year. That's not worth it. But once you start to talk about 10 times of what I make in a year,
Oh man. So you said for the right price you can change that brand.
But for the right price, I will change the brand, but I'm still going to be able to come right back. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying I'm going to go out there. Now, there are limits to that. Let's be clear. For the right price, I will change the brand, but there will be no pornography and things like that. So, but for the right price, just to, again, it's about what you believe. I'm not going to tell anybody, oh, don't do this or don't do that. It's about their perception of what they want for their life. For me, I need a balance. My reality is I can't be out there just cutting up, because my reality is I have a grandchild and I have an impression. I need her when she grows up to be able to Google Granny or Google Diamond D, and because this internet thing is real, y'all. We out here. These videos that we make, you think you deleted it and it's gone? It's not.
Mm-hmm. It's
still there. So you have to think about your future. What do you want people to be able to see about you when you've forgotten about Mr. Nas and I've forgotten about Diamond D and somebody's on there and they just come across that and they decide to Google? You can Google us right now. We're Googleable. And what comes up? That's the word. I just made that up. We're Googleable. And I'm not ashamed by anything that comes up when you Google Diamond D. Now, when you Google Diamond D, there is going to be this big white stripper that comes up that's not me. There is a porn star.
I was about to ask you, but I noticed that. And I'm
Google
like,
okay.
Me. It's like, yeah, well, I Google everybody. My job, that's what we do.
You freaking Googled me. Did you see the big white lady that came up?
Yeah, I don't think you're the big white lady. But however,
no,
I
I'm
think
not the
big
white lady, but there is a Diamond D porn, and I didn't know about her until I Googled myself. But when I Googled Diamond D, I'm not ashamed of what comes up, but I need a little bit more. I need a little bit more substance.
I think with us, the substance is out there, because like you said before, I Googled us and we pop right on up. We're there.
Right on up. Yeah, just like on iHeart. Mama, I mean it.
There we go, shameless plug. But we are at that time again.
Damn.
Once again, I want to say, yeah, time is flying. We were passionate on this topic, you know, for those who tuned in and those who listened to the show. It's the Undertale Talk Show, yours truly, Mr. Nas, and of course, the one and only Ms. Diamond D. And tonight's topic was about branding. You know, we had a great time. Salute to Rebirth Radio, that's going to be a broadcast. That's along with the many other networks, iHeartRadio, so the Spreaker. Oh my God, it's a lot of networks. It's a lot to name. So, can we come to the end of the week? You got anything going on? Because you talked about it earlier in the show. What you got going on?
So on Friday, November 8th, we will be in Clark, New Jersey, at the Holiday Inn. I'm not even hosting. I'm just partying, and I have the honor of being with the legendary DJ Chillax. You can find him on YouTube, DJ Steve Davis, who is a New Jersey legend in his own. You can find him on Facebook, some YouTube. But Steve is old school. Steve ain't. But when I tell you a beast on the turntables, Frankie Vibe, and it is brought to you by Francis Young, who is actually out of Brooklyn. We will be in Clark, New Jersey, celebrating Scorpios on November. It's the masquerade party, so we're going to be there. It's going to be an amazing time. Tickets were pre-sold. They were $20. I don't think there's any more pre-sold. So you got to get your tickets at the door. But come out. It's grown folks. It's safe. Shout out to Shay Marie. She's going to be there selling jewelry. There'll be some other vendors. It's a masquerade party. There'll be masks there for sale. But the music, the people, the vibe, the celebration is going to be amazing. So hopefully you can come out and join us and say hi. I ask everybody that if you see me and I don't see you or I don't recognize you, please say hi to me. I get so many people that message me afterwards like, yo, Diamond, I saw you. And I'm like, why didn't you say hi? I am the most approachable person in the world. Just make sure your beard is clean. So
oh,
come out with me. Not on Friday.
Oh, my God. Branding. Branding. Diamond. Diamond. I enjoyed all of the conversation tonight. I enjoyed, I learned some things today, you know, and you learned some things too about Cletus, but that's another thing.
Yeah.
But, no, seriously, I mean, you know, guys, you know, I can speak from a man's perspective. You know, you got to protect your brand. You got to understand how you carry yourself. And like Diamond said earlier, is that about the presentation. People, first appearance, soon they look at you, they're going to draw a perception about who you are. Just mm-hmm. within maybe that minute, if possibly the second minute, as soon as you open your mouth, they're going to start
mm-hmm.
to try to tie that in together.
Mm-hmm.
Then as you correspond with them, they're going to look at you. They're going to hear you out. And let me tell you something also that I teach a lot of our young men. It's also how you left. Now, you could change the perception. If it was a negative, you know, maybe you kind of caught them off guard. The conversation was there. But how you leave that meeting, strong handshake, or either you're mm-hmm. saying goodbye, they're going to remember how you came in and how you left. And a lot of times that applies to regular life and business. How you came in and how you left. They always say, even entertainment, how did you end your show? Did people leave knowing they had a good time? Or when you left a job or you finished completing a project, how did you complete that project? How was the presentation when you submitted it? They're going to look at all these things. So, again, it's how you first come on the scene, how they look at you, and then also how you leave the scene. They're going to look at you on those notes. So I want to leave that for my fellas, you know, especially my young fellas and my young women out there. You know, it's about your brand. Please be protected at all points.
I agree with everything you said. I echo your sentiments. And, again, you decide what people see and know and remember about you. That's it. So remember that. You're the decision maker in what people know, see, and remember about you. And act accordingly. That's all. It's up to you.
You know what? We have actually about 3 minutes. I want to do something here. I finally found a little bit of that Tyler Perry's speech he did on BET. Not sure I can get it all in there, but I want to play that because I thought it was very powerful how he talked about having his brand and having a table to sit at, about creating his own table. So I want to play this for our listeners. And please, ladies and gentlemen, whatever you do, create your own table. You don't be the follower, be the leader. So with that being said, I'm going to say goodnight. I'm going to play this, and we'll be talking to you guys next week. Diamond, we're going to talk behind the scenes.
Everybody.
I got to ask you something. I got an idea.
Okay. All right.
All right. Let's play this.
Tyler, you are a brilliant visionary that embodies what the African-American dream truly is. You, sir, are an icon living. I am deeply, deeply honored to present the 2019 BET Ultimate Icon Award to my dear, dear friend, Mr. Tyler Perry.
Thank you. I want to say a special thanks to BET, my new family. I can't wait to get started over there with our new shows. Thank you so much for this. To Scott and everybody over there, thank you so much. To Viacom, Shari, who's here, Bob, everybody. Listen, from my heart, I want to say thank you. I couldn't help but think about my mother. Sit down. I couldn't help but think about my mother. I remember being a kid, I was about 5 years old. She would take me into the projects with her when she played cards on Friday nights. with a bunch of women. Now, these women didn't have more than a 12th grade education, but they were smart black women. They were powerful black women. They had great stories to tell. And I was a five-year-old kid sitting there on the floor playing with my Matchbox cars, listening to them talk about their men, their relationships, and their pains. And when one of them would get really sad, another woman would come in and make a joke, and they'd all start laughing. I didn't know I was in a master class for my life. I would get home, and my father would be beating my mother and doing all kinds of things and saying all kinds of stuff to her, and he would leave the room, and I'd walk in, and I'd imitate one of those women, and she would start laughing. There was a power in that that I didn't really get until I got older. I remember being about 11, 12 years old on my way to my new school, and I got to this intersection. I had to walk past pimps, prostitutes, walk through a graveyard, get to this intersection, six-lane intersection, and there was a man standing there saying, "Will someone help me cross? Will someone help me cross?" And there were all these people that kept passing by him. I said, "I'll help you cross." So he told me he was going to my school, and he was going to sell candy there. That's how he made his living. So I helped him cross the street to get there. We became good friends. His name was Mr. Butler. That moment reminded me of my mother, bringing her out of pain into laughter to help her cross. My first 10 movies were all about her subconsciously, wanting her to know that she was worthy, wanting black women to know you're worthy, you're special, you're powerful, you're amazing. All of that was about helping her cross. When I started hiring people like Taraji and Viola Davis and Idris Elba, they couldn't get jobs in this town, but God blessed me to be in a position to be able to hire them. I was trying to help somebody cross. When I built my studio, I built it in a neighborhood that is one of the poorest black neighborhoods in Atlanta, so the young black kids can see that a black man did that and they can do it too. I was trying to help somebody cross. The studio was once a Confederate Army base, and I want you to hear this, which meant that there was Confederate soldiers on that base plotting and planning on how to keep 3.9 million Negroes enslaved. Now that land is owned by one Negro. It's all about trying to help somebody cross. While everybody was fighting for a seat at the table, talking about Oscar so white, I said, y'all go ahead and do that. But while you're fighting for a seat at the table, I'll be down in Atlanta building my own. Because what I know for sure is that if I could just build this table, God would prepare it for me in the presence of my enemies. Rather than being an icon, I want to be an inspiration. So thank you, BET, my new family. Thank you, everybody. I want you to hear this. Every dreamer in this room, there are people whose lives are tied into your dream. Own your stuff. Own your business. Own your way. God bless you. Thank you, BET. Thank you, Scott. I love you guys. Thank you.